All right, this is pretty cool, I think, anyway. Over the, I guess this happened on the weekend, Saturday, Darren Gabbert of Weatherford, Yabab.
He Home bought kangaroos.
He went to go tour Texas, or sorry, Yabba. Cowboys Stadium with his family. Around 1 p.m., he buys his ticket. And after the attendant at the box office tells him, congratulations, the ticket you bought was a very notable ticket. All of a sudden, the Dallas Cowboy drum line appears by the box office, and they announce that he's bought the millionth tour ticket.
Wow.
He bought the 1 millionth
$20
tour
each.
Of the stadium ticket. And so the drum line appears, and then they escort the family inside the stadium lobby, where there are the Cowboy cheerleaders greeting them as confetti rains down on them. And Jerry Jones himself is standing there ready to conduct a tour with them.
Welcome to the stadium.
They hand Gabbert a Cowboys jersey with millionth printed on it. That was his number, millionth. And they give him 1 year of free stadium tours, a post-tour lunch. After the tour, they got lunch from one of the stadium's private kitchens. They gave him $500 to spend in the gift shop. And they gave him tickets to Sunday's Cowboys-Giants game. Sorry about that part. And also, they placed a paver out there engraved with his name on it, and they're going to put that outside the stadium. But this is pretty cool. That's a pretty cool deal.
Dreams do come true.
I think he also got a lap dance from one of the cheerleaders. Just kind of
in front of his wife and kids?
Icing on the cake for that man. Okay, so that's 1 million visitors in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a ton of people.
What a revenue source.
Well, South Fork gets 300,000 visitors a year. And the Sixth Floor Museum gets about the same.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, Cowboy Stadium right up there. Man. Tourist attraction. So Jerry Jones leads them up there with their gifts. They go up an escalator to the second level of the stadium, and he starts his spiel. He starts off saying, welcome. This is the largest air-conditioned room in the world. And then he explained how the stadium's arches help support the video board hanging above the field. And then one of Gabbert's sons, he raises his hand and says, how does it take those doors to open on the end of the end zones?
I'm certainly glad you asked me. That takes 9 minutes. And the retractable roof, that takes 12 minutes.
But we never use it.
We never use it. It's kind of like
right.
Sunroof.
At least last time we timed it, it took 12 minutes.
So that's a nice thing that Jerry did for the millionth visitor.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So congratulations to Darren Gabbert and his family. In other sports news, we had Jerry Sandusky.
In other sports news, we had Jerry Sandusky.
He had a hearing.
And he had a hearing.
Okay, Jerry Sandusky's lawyer isn't doing him any favors. This guy is an idiot. Allegedly, he's an idiot.
Did you hear any of him yesterday basically making the prosecution's case? For them?
Yeah, he said,
play
cut number two. This is him talking about his own client.
People think, because he was a defensive coordinator at Penn State and was involved in two national championships, that he's this really smart, articulate guy. He's not.
What? What? That's his own lawyer. And that was his explanation for why Sandusky completely botched that appearance with Bob Costas, that interview that he did in which he paused for long periods of time and when asked a very simple question, are you sexually attracted to young boys? And Sandusky hemmed and hawed around that.
He also, at one point, said, people think that, Jerry Sandusky had the greatest scheme set up. I don't know if we have that cut, but he went through. If you're the defense attorney, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't believe you're ever supposed to introduce doubt.
Introduce
doubt that
your client,
that he might not be innocent,
is
what I'm saying. Because the lawyer said, people think he had this scheme set up, this charity, which gave him access to young boys, basically making the prosecution's case. You're not supposed to bring that up if you're the defense lawyer, are you?
And I couldn't find the little clip of him saying, Jerry Sandusky's in the fight of his life. Even a bigger fight than the 1986 national championship game or whatever he said.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just vomitous, the sports references that were in there. All right, so then at some point when he's – by the way, they waived the hearing. They were had to appear in court, and they were going to have this hearing, and everyone was rubbing their hands together expecting, oh, Sandusky's going to face his accusers, and he's going to have to hear his accusers saying all this stuff that he did to their private private parts. And then Sandusky and his lawyer, Joe Amendola, they waived the hearing. Said, it's okay. We're not going to really challenge this. Let's go ahead and bring him up on charges. So I think it's a very unusual move, but I think it's kind of a good move because basically they are saying, look, well, here, you can get the explanation of this. This is cut number one there, Jer.
Stay the course to fight for four quarters.
Get up.
We'll wait the opportunity to present our side.
That's the vomitous another sports reference. Sorry, we're going to fight four quarters. Oh, no, cut three. I'm sorry. Did I say cut three?
Credibility is going to be the main factor in this case. Credibility is a situation that exists at trial. It's a measure which we can address at trial, but we could not have addressed today. And had we attempted to, I suspect we would have been foreclosed from doing so.
His point is that they're going to lay out all these lurid allegations, and everyone's going to be talking about all the lurid allegations that they don't really have a chance to thoroughly respond to at a hearing the way they would at a trial. So he's saying, let's just not have all this stuff out there before the trial. So that part's kind of smart. Now, another dumb thing that his lawyer did, he's saying that anyone who thought that Jerry Sandusky was having annual sex with a 10-year-old looking kid in a shower room on the Penn State property, and that their response was simply to tell Jerry Sandusky, don't go in the shower with any more kids. To anyone who might believe that, I suggest you dial 1-800-REALITY, because that makes absolutely no sense. If you call 1-800-REALITY,
oh no,
you get a message that says, hey guys, welcome to the hottest place for triple X action. Get ready for bulging, bursting pleasure with horny, gay, bi, and bi-curious studs.
Oh, no.
Just 99 cents a minute. You must be over 18.
Kidding me,
is what 1-800-REALITY is. So somebody went back and told Amendola after this that the phone number that he suggested was for gay phone sex.
Because my client calls it all the time.
He's down on the phone.
And Amendola says, oh, really? You're kidding. That's hilarious. I had no idea. I've been using that joke for years.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
The worst lawyer in America. That's amazing. Do you like oysters?
Love them.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever really had oysters. I may have had one or two.
I don't like fried. If you can put enough stuff on the raw oyster, it's okay.
I'd rather have fried oysters than the slurp them down.
Raw's the best.
Well, we may not have any Texas oysters because it's basically the oyster crop has been destroyed by algae. Because of our drought. Hey, guys, how are you?
Who's this?
Tommy Oyster.
Oh. Hey, Tommy.
From Texas. I floated down there from New York.
From where?
New York.
It's amazing that one former NFL tight end could destroy an entire crop of oysters.
Algae?
Algae Crumpler?
Oh, my God. Algae Crumpler. Thought I worked at a sports station. I don't. Maybe. Yeah,
well,
maybe I
don't. Look at me.
I was thinking Drought. Who's the name Drought?
I support you on that.
Thank you, Rich.
I love the oh my god algae crumpler moment.
So after this monstrous bloom of toxic algae, state officials, health officials took the rare step of closing the entire coast for oyster harvesting, putting out of business all those oyster fishermen, catchers.
Oysterers?
You don't catch oysters, do you? You don't fish for them.
Oyster harvesters. Farmers.
Oystermen. If you're a fisherman, you're an oysterman.
Well, that's weird, though. Oyster farmers. Yet you do have catfish farms.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a farmer there if you work on a catfish farm, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, so you're not going to have any Texas oysters. This is amazing. A four-year-old stray cat that was rescued from the streets of Rome has inherited $13 million from its owner, who was a wealthy widow of an Italian property tycoon. Maria Assunta died at the age of 94 a couple weeks ago and left this stray cat $13 million. Meanwhile, the kid with the flies buzzing around his eyes as they go gray.
Couldn't have left it to charity.
No.
Had to leave it to the cat.
She left it all to her cat to be cared for.
What happened when the cat bites it?
That's a good question. The cat doesn't have any heirs.
I guess the cat would have to
have a litter,
come up with a will.
If the cat has... That's... Okay, so if that cat owns $13 million and it does have kittens... Then that $13 million goes to those kittens,
I
right?
So.
Well, but after a couple generations worth of birth and that money really gets
kittens
diluted.
Burn through that money?
No, I don't think so, George.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, how much does it cost to care for a cat for a year? $100?
More than you think.
What are you taking care of? You still got, I thought yours were torn up by bobcats.
Noonie and Witty? No, they're still going. Mm. They're very streetwise.
Now, this places him number... His name is Tommaso.
Oh. Maybe we can get him on at 840.
This places... Hey, it's me. It's Tommaso.
Right now, 840.
Oh. This places him number three on the list of wealthy pets. Kalu, the chimp. His owner left him $80 million.
Gosh.
There's a chimp worth $80 million. Think about how hard all us humans work to try to just... get enough to retire on.
Do you think that chimp appreciates the $80 million?
No, it's still flinging its feces.
Oh, yeah.
And then Gunther the Fourth, who is a German shepherd, oh, my goodness, inherited $372 million.
Oh, my.
And he inherited that from his father, Gunther the Third. So there is a pet that inherited $372 million from another dog. I'm insane now.
So the people taking care of them have pretty good gigs.
Yes.
They can just say, well, I need it for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think that you'll be involved in a sperm scandal, Giorgio?
Nope.
Well, take a little time to think about
it.
No,
I will
just not run
be.
Through all the scenarios.
No.
Well, an Alabama politician has been caught in a sperm scandal. Bill Johnson, who I believe is a conservative... Family values, dude.
A guy named Johnson in a sperm scandal?
I don't get it, Craig.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Jack, he has been living a secret life as a New Zealand sperm donor. The Alabama politician's been living a secret life as a New Zealand sperm donor for lesbian couples.
Gosh.
How much money was he making?
He's working as a... He's doing contract work or something, some recovery effort after that deadly earthquake that struck New Zealand. Well, he's married, and he's been using an alias to meet women who want help getting pregnant. And they've confirmed at least 9 women have received... sperm donations! From Johnson. And at least 3 were pregnant. So, now, fertility specialists, they say that in New Zealand, say that their donors should not make that available to more than 4 families. Why do you think they'd say that?
Inbreeding.
Yeah, they want to... Never thought I'd say this phrase this morning, but they want to prevent accidental incest. Pretty good name for a band, though, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Accidental...
That's oh, damn.
Pretty strong name.
You guys don't watch Bored to Death, do you?
No.
Jonathan, the main character, met this girl and slept with her. Then they found out that they had the same father from the sperm bank. Ended up being Stacy Keach.
I'm insane.
And he ran the sperm bank, and he said that he used all of his own sperm to keep costs down so he wouldn't have to buy any spank mags.
Oh, my Lord.
What's wrong?
So this dude is 52 years of age, and he was approached by a reporter when he had just finished dining with one of the women that he impregnated. And his explanation was that he was unable to have children with his wife, and that the urge to become a biological father was, quote, a need that I have.
What?
And so that's why he was getting lesbians pregnant.
How much money was he making?
Because
does
he wanted
say?
To be a biological father.
Can you make a lot of money donating?
I think you can make some money, but money was not his motivation. His motivation was to have his own biological children wandering around the world trying to avoid accidental grincest.
So he went literally to the other side of the world, as far away as he could.
Mm-hmm, and just started arcing.
So would he take trips down there, or would he produce in, where was he, Alabama?
Yeah, he was in New Zealand doing some kind of recovery effort.
Suspicious.
For the earthquake. I mean, he was helping people in more than one way. Correct?
Was it direct deposit, or was he just sending them a pack?
Believe me, it wasn't direct deposit with these women.
No. You never know.
No.
No. There was a pneumatic tube that he had to put it in and press the button and send it over to them. And this happened in New Jersey. People in three counties got a text message on their phones that said, this was Verizon customers specifically, CMAS alert, civil emergency in this area until 1:24 p.m. Eastern time. Take shelter now, U.S. government.
Whoa.
And so everyone starts freaking out. Vague civil emergency that we had to take shelter now? Turns out they were accidentally testing. They were testing and accidentally sent out this alert. I didn't know this, but there's apparently a way that the government can just seize control of our phones and text us all at the same time.
That's kind of great.
See, Junior loves that Big Brother stuff.
It's kind of interesting that the government can contact us all at once. But it is also kind of cheap that they just text us, hey, nuclear war, it's on.
Yeah.
All right, birthdays.
Birthdays. LOL. They don't add that kind of stuff at the end of it.
Nuclear war on, frown face.
All right, birthdays today. Hal Williams from Sanford and Son and 227 is 73.
Is that Hoppy?
I think it is.
Or is that Smitty?
The black one was Hoppy, right?
No, Smitty. Wait, no.
I think Smitty was the white one.
Who was Hoppy?
We're talking about the two cops from Sanford and Son. Hoppy and Smitty. Did you think the white guy was funny?
Yes.
How they made him so white.
Okay, yeah. Hal Williams is the black cop.
And who is he, though? Hoppy or Smitty?
He was Smitty.
Okay, so Hoppy's the white guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I never was able to completely enjoy that show.
Uh-oh.
That was such a great
Why?
Show.
Because Red Fox, one of the greatest comedic actors of all time in a sitcom. Yes.
I watched it for years. They never sold a thing. And they were not doing well to begin with.
But they made poverty fun for everyone.
You didn't think I worried about them too much.
I can see what you're saying. They weren't doing very well, and there was a lot of yelling between dad and son that made me a little uncomfortable. They were always arguing. And
Howard Platt was Hoppy, the white cop.
You didn't think it was funny the way Red so Fox white. Would walk around? He had that big old belly that stuck out.
He was funny.
His waistline funny, yeah. was about 22 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his hands always splayed out.
Yes, he was funny.
And all the supporting cast, Rollo and Skillet.
Skillet. Yeah.
Bubba.
On Esther.
Just once
who
so
always great. Wore pearls in those dresses, yet she'd walk like a guy.
You old fish-eyed fool.
Could they just?
And he was always on the brink of heart problems, remember?
I know. But could they have once just rung up one sale? Just to show that they had
Stop
some
worrying
income.
About the business aspect
they had
of it.
Zero income.
It doesn't matter.
Zero.
They got money somehow.
I never saw it.
Stop worrying about their business plan.
My problem is they needed to like vacuum once in a while, I thought.
It was a junkyard.
The house was a mess. They lived there, gross. Though. It's disgusting. Yeah.
You guys are so
Wipe down
judgmental.
The counter once in a while.
Joyce Vincent Wilson of Tony Orlando and Dawn is 65.
JBW.
I don't know if she goes by that. Patty Duke, 65. Cliff Williams, bassist for AC/DC, is 62. What does AC/DC stand for?
After Christ, the Devil Came.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard it meant you.
That was always the urban legend.
AC and DC.
You know what that stands for? Stands for After Christ, the Devil Came. It's kind of vulgar, but anyway. Cynthia Gibb from Fame is 48. Is she the main one? I thought that was Irene Cara.
Gotta go.
And Vanessa Hudgens, 23.
All right, thank you. That's Muse 7.